Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Targeted by Spirits, a conversation with Brian Dietz. It started as an innocent business trip to one of the most haunted cities in the world, New Orleans. Shortly after checking into his room, Brian Dietz began feeling watched. After searching his room, Brian soon found himself the recipient of a life-changing paranormal experience that would put him on a path searching for answers. What answers he's found on his journey would change his life, as he realized that as much as he may be searching for spirits, spirits maybe targeting him.
Well, when I was a kid, thanks for having me on first and foremost.
Sure. But,
when I was a kid, I had a moment where I'd woken up from a nap and my folks had gone to the store or something. And I wasn't that young. I was older, but I was still not used to being alone, especially waking up disoriented from a nap. And it was dark out. And I was a little disoriented, but I felt a lot of fear, and it was unusual amount of fear. And I went to go close a door and lock a door near the front entryway. And when I reached out for the door, it slammed closed on me, and I didn't even touch the knob. And that was probably my very first freak out moment that I thought, well, this is something. This is something going on here that's not explainable. And I didn't understand why I even felt so much fear and dread in that moment either, or to why I was even so concerned about locking not the primary house door, but a different door. So that would probably be my very first intro into that.
So,
and then, you know,
you were a little kid and you're feeling insecure and scared, right, for some reason, and you don't know why. So your initial reaction is to provide more security for yourself, and that's to go and lock the door. Once that door literally just slipped out of your hands and grip and slammed on its own, what was your reaction? What was going through your mind at that moment?
I ran like hell. I ran, and like most kids do, I ran to my bedroom and hid under my covers and freaked out and waited patiently, turning all the lights on in between until my folks got back from the market. They weren't gone very long, but it felt like forever when you're a kid and you're freaked out.
Did you go and tell your parents what had happened?
I did, and I don't recall the reaction. I'm sure it was more like, oh, it was probably this or that, or some kind of explain it away. Mm-hmm. I think I was more distraught and probably not making any sense trying to tell them.
Yeah. And a lot of parents would have that reaction either because they don't believe or because they're just trying to calm their child down.
Yeah.
As you had that first experience in that house, were there other things that happened while you were young there or in other locations?
Not that I recall at that point. That one was the most potent in my mind. I have a lot of mental blocks on childhood things, mm-hmm, unfortunately. But my adult life, as a kid, I always liked stuff like Ghostbusters, and I'm a kid of the early 80s.
Sure.
I was born in 1980. So I grew up watching Scooby-Doo every day, and mm-hmm, I grew up, you know, watching the real Ghostbusters cartoons and stuff like that right after school every single day. And I loved the Ghostbuster movies with Bill Murray and everything else.
Sure.
And that kind of probably sparked a lifelong interest in paranormal, where I've always been drawn to all kinds of things. You know, in my 20s, I liked Anne Rice novel vampires. And you know, it just throughout, I've always been very fascinated. And I always felt like there was more to this world than what we see on the surface, and that there's got to be more that we're not seeing on a day-to-day basis, and what we're being told, mostly what we're being told.
Sure.
That there's a whole other level of interesting layer to our existence that we, science, and nobody else wants to claim as true.
Tell me about, as you got older, you obviously had that childhood experience, so you kind of had a little bit of a taste of something that was bizarre and unexplainable. But I totally understand your mindset of growing up in the 80s. I was born in 82, so yeah, we had the same sort of upbringing in terms of what was around us in terms of popular culture and interest in that area, and Ghostbusters, etc. As you got older and you continued to kind of have this interest and this passion, maybe not necessarily things going on around you, but the, you know, there's the curiosity that's there, and you're drawn to those sort of things. How did you take a first step that moved you beyond just, I like watching Ghostbusters when it's on TBS, yep, to I think I want to go take a look at this a little bit deeper. What were some of your first steps in that direction?
Well, watching Ghost Adventures, mm-hmm, and certain shows on TV, I really started to take a liking to paranormal ghost stories. Mm-hmm. I binge watched everything I could get my hands on.
Yeah.
And I started to realize and wonder, you know, how much of this is television production and how much of this is legitimate, because there's just so darn much of it that's starting to spur with the internet and YouTube and other sources, not just on television and cable networks and whatnot. And it makes you start to wonder. And I didn't really pay much mind to it. I thought maybe it was all entertainment, and maybe it wasn't. And I was on a work trip in New Orleans, and it was my first time to New Orleans as an adult. And I was super excited, and I booked a hotel near Bourbon Street because I was looking forward to checking out Bourbon Street when I wasn't working. And it was the La Pavilion Hotel. And I went to Bourbon Street, and I hung out for a little bit that night. And then I went back to my room. And the whole time from when I first stepped foot in the hotel, I felt like I was being watched. Mm-hmm. And it really freaked me out, because I thought, well, what's going on here? And I have all my work tools and everything else with me. By this time, I'm like 28, 29. But I had all my work tools with me for a job, and I just kept feeling like, man, this place is old and it's kind of got a creepy vibe to it. And why do I feel like I'm being watched the whole time I'm here? And I actually thought at one point, I was like, do they have some kind of like hidden camera peeper cams or something going on in here? Cause it's such an overwhelming feeling of being watched that you can't shake it no matter where you go. And then I realized I'm even feeling this when I'm in the bathroom. Like, I'm feeling it in my room, I'm feeling it in the hallways, and I don't understand. And I really thought at one point, like, maybe they have some kind of weird camera thing set up. So I took my tools out and I started taking things apart, thinking I was going to find some little hidden camera somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I started opening vents and I started taking apart lamps, and I started going, well, there's nothing here. And I still feel like I'm being watched, and even more so now that I'm taking stuff apart. I had the wildest, craziest dreams of my life that night. I've had very potent, unexplainable dreams before that stick with me for years. And then I have dreams where, you know, you forget as soon as you wake up almost. But there's been certain dreams throughout my life, and I always felt kind of weird and different, and I didn't understand why. I just thought I was weird. Mm-hmm. And maybe I am just weird. I don't know. But I don't claim to know what's going on. But as far as that night goes, it was very peculiar. That dream in particular, I was seeing a time period in New Orleans that I had no knowledge of. Like, I'm a pretty, I like history a lot, but I had no knowledge of this weird battle scenario that I was somehow involved in, but it wasn't me, but it was me. And there was Kerry clothing details that I couldn't have possibly fathomed. And there were all these, this wild, like, fight in New Orleans, like olden times, there was like a boardwalk and it was wood and there was fire, things were on fire. And I didn't understand, how the heck I could have such a weird dream out of the blue like that. And when I woke up, I felt very disoriented, like way more than usual. I had some sleep paralysis that night as well. And, that's always fun.
Is sleep paralysis something that you experience on a semi-regular basis, or is that kind of every...
No.
No, okay.
It's rare. It's rare for me, but it has happened. And I used to travel around the country and Canada a lot for work, and it has happened in places like New York and New Orleans and certain places. That's been pretty... pretty scary, if I'm going to say. I don't like to use that word, but it was... pretty scary stuff to not be able to scream and trying to scream and feeling like people are around you and holding you down.
Yeah.
Things like that. But in that particular case, I didn't feel held down. I just felt like I couldn't yell and break myself out of that dream. In the morning, I tried to shake it off best I could, jumped in the shower, got my tools ready, got ready for work, and I was waiting for them to pull my car around the valet. And I kept talking to myself, and I still felt like I was being watched. And I was like, why, what the heck was that?
Yeah.
What was that dream? What the heck was that? And I kept shaking my head and going, this is not right. Like, there's something real, like, weird going on. I was like, screw it. I'm going to sound crazy, but I'm just going to ask the guy. I walked up to the clerk at the front desk, and, I said, I know this sounds weird and this sounds crazy, but is this hotel haunted? And he didn't miss a beat. He said, yeah. Isn't that why you stayed here? And I said, what? It turns out the La Pavilion near Bourbon Street, it's not on Bourbon Street, but it's nearby, walking distance. Maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong, La Pavilion. It's on a lot of top 10 haunted hotel list.
Yeah.
In the country. And I was, so anytime, so this is what I tell people, if the paranormal finds you when you're not looking for it, pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And after that point, I couldn't look at the world the same way again. I had to start thinking, holy crap, this is real. And what does that mean? and now I need to know more. And then that was the deep dive at that point into all things paranormal. Everything I could get my hands on, show-wise, every story I could hear from anybody. A lot of different things after that point.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand-new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.